Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, every Friday here at 11 in the morning on LA Talk Radio. Yes, the world's most irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk radio station. Today, as always, you're going to get some wonderful help and practical tools and have a better understanding of yourself, aren't you? Yes, you are, of course, because I have a special guest in studio who has just written a book about mindfulness, which we'll be talking about, and tools and steps and his journey he's going to share. Things like that, that will really help you out in your life. And you've heard me talk about mindfulness here on the air many times. It is a legit psychological practice, and you can use it in many ways to help yourself with depression and anxiety and just sort of surviving in this contemporary society with the chaos and the craziness and all the social media that really affects our self-esteem and how we are influenced by that. But there are practices that I've mentioned where you can just sort of go into yourself and get stronger, become more resilient, better coping skills, much like the practice of meditation. We're going to find out about the difference between mindfulness and meditation and a lot more with my special guest today. And by the way, let me encourage you, if you want to call in, if you have any questions or comments, let's go for calls today, shall we? Let's do it. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Beautiful Los Angeles zip code, area code rather. 323-203-0815. If you'd like to email me, go for it. You can do it here at the station, right here. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Love to hear from you guys. If you have any questions or comments or whatever, we'd love to hear from you, as we always are. So, again, you've heard me talk about the importance of being mindful every day. And researchers, I always go there because it's just, I don't know why, it just is easier. They've defined mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy. See, this is the therapy thing. As a true healing practice. Yeah, it's empirically proven to be an amazing, helpful practice. So it was developed originally for folks with recurring episodes of depression, unhappiness, anxiety, in the psychological community, and treating all kinds of anxiety, stress, addictions. And it also has been shown to improve health conditions, such as vascular disease, traumatic brain injury, a lot of diseases like that. We are powerful in our brains. We're going to find out more about that. So you're going to learn how you can incorporate mindfulness practices into your everyday life today and how it can help you with some of the unresolved issues you might be hanging on to. Yeah, those things that you come into my office and talk to me about, they're going to all be solved right here today, right now. Well, almost, but you have to read the book first. So let me just tell you that I'm not your therapist, guys. I'm just giving you suggestions and ideas here on the couch. Okay, just suggestions with expert guests. So my in-studio guest is Keith McPherson. He is a mindfulness expert, life coach, motivational speaker, and he's been inspiring audiences for more than 20 years. He looks like he's 25, but... You do. You look like you're 25.
Thank you.
You lucky person. You must be. You must. So you started when you were five.
It's the mindfulness practice, I tell
wow.
you, Michelle.
It is.
Yay. Good. I loved your book, so I'm going to study it again. I'm going to read it again because I want to look like you, youthful.
Thank you.
So Keith, by the way, like I said, is a mindfulness life coach. Been doing this for more than 20 years. And he's known for his popular Daily Intentions on social media and his regular column, Keith's Corner. We're going to talk about how you can find out and read more about that. Keith has been in several corporate wellness magazines, and he's inspired thousands of folks daily with his messages of mindfulness. So he was born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I always say that wrong. I'm sorry, Canada. And what I really love about you is you spent most of your life traveling as a professional musician. Wow.
Yes, I did.
You pulled that one off. You were, in 2006, a top finalist on the hit TV series Canadian Idol.
Yes, I was.
Whoa. Good for you.
Thank you.
And, of course, you've released your solo album entitled Shine. Check it out. Great music. He's a wonderful musician, guitarist, writer. You're also a certified yoga instructor.
Yes,
I
am.
How do you find time to do all this? I mean, my goodness.
Mindfulness. I'm telling you, Michelle, okay. It all comes back to that root.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And you have instructional videos and live yoga DVD releases, by the way. And we'll let you know how you can get, you know, into all that and find out more about Keith. But let's talk about your book. It's called Making Sense of Mindfulness, 5 Principles to Integrate Mindfulness Practice into Your Daily Life. So thanks for being here.
Yeah.
So nice to meet you.
I just wanted to say I am so excited and honored to be here this morning. I've just started tuning into your show. I just found out about it. And I absolutely love the guests and the conversations and the whole platform.
Yay.
So it's really wonderful to be here. And anyone listening, this is perfectly on time for them. Because it was for me. I know that just tuning in. So
great.
Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate that so much. And you're part of it. I mean, this is what, you know, we attracted each other out there, I guess, from the universe to...
I believe it.
Yep.
Yep.
The field is real.
We are mirrors of each other.
Yes, we are.
Looking one-on-one here in the studio. It's beautiful.
It is.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I love that. So let's maybe help listeners out, because I think everybody reads about mindfulness and psychologists teach it and all that. But... how do you define mindfulness?
Yeah, well, this journey of mindfulness to me has been kind of mysterious. I don't come from a background of super scientifically trained on the subject, to be honest. I discovered this very randomly. I've come to find, though, in my work that the most basic way to define this for me that makes sense is mindfulness is paying attention in the present moment to myself, everybody else around me, with the intention of kindness. It sounds so simple,
yet
it is challenging to stay here in the moment and be kind to ourselves, especially. I mean, how many of us are up there in our brains and we're just totally beating ourselves up with these negative thoughts?
Yes.
You know?
That constant chatter.
Absolutely.
Of how are these people perceiving me and comparing ourselves, like I said, on social media? And did I come off weird? Or I mean,
all day long, you know, we're thinking over like 60,000 thoughts, apparently.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just chronic, repetitive thoughts that are literally beating us up instead of building us up.
Yes. You know, it's so funny. I was listening the other day, you know, not to throw out names or anything like that, but I was listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza. And
he's amazing. Amazing work.
He said that 90% of our thoughts are in the subconscious. They're habitual, kind of like we're hypnotized. We just go through the motions.
Absolutely.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's right.
10% are the more conscious mindfulness thoughts.
Yeah. So the invitation is to, as we get present, that field expands and we become more and more present to what am I thinking about and how am I choosing to see the world? Mm. And when that happens... Mm-hmm. We bounce between love and fear all the time, but we become more and more aware of what's possible right now and how to connect with it.
It's quite amazing. It is.
Yeah.
So you as a musician, I've always believed that artists are in the now. You have to be. You're in the now.
Not always. Not always. Oh, there's so many times. Well, we were talking about Canadian Idol.
Right.
Just to put this in perspective, right? I mean, I spent a summer on there singing in front of millions of Canadians at the time.
Sure.
And I mean, that TV camera light would come on. And yeah. I was not always present. My mind was like, you're going to forget the words. You're not going to do a good job. What are your parents thinking right now that are watching in another city? Right? We are. So it's even as an artist, I think there's an invitation as the artist to come back to the present moment, because that's where our power is right now. This is where the charisma is right now.
Yes.
When you watch really good performers, they're the ones that are not thinking about what they're going to have for breakfast. They are like so there with you in that audience that it feels like you have no choice but to be attracted to that energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
But
it's a
dance, as you probably know.
It is.
Yes.
It's back and forth because thank you for being honest about that, because I'm sure as a professional performer, you know, you do have to, you get there, you're tired. You do have like, I'm sort of out of it, or it becomes, you know, the notes and the other musicians you're with, it becomes habitual and you're just kind of like, oh, I'm just not feeling it today.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the invitation to be present comes in.
Yes.
And to be honest with ourselves. I think there's this conditioned mindset that we have to be someone and we have to get somewhere and we have to do more and be more. I mean, we're bombarded by that, but the invitation to just drop into the now and be like, what is here and what is real? And, you know, it can be very scary in those moments where you're like, oh, I don't feel like I'm doing good enough, to just drop into it and embrace it.
Yes.
And as you embrace that fear, what rises up on the other side is this beautiful surrender. And in that, there's a resonance that happens between you and everyone else, because it makes you so human and relatable.
Yes, it really does.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, you know, we are mirrors, and when we are in a more peaceful state and on, I don't want to sound cliche-ish, but you know, our thoughts are of higher vibrations and, you know, we're just kind of in a good place and we're just sort of really managing, and being mindful of our thoughts.
Absolutely.
And the negative things, you know, we are going to be attracting better things into our lives. It's just science. It's nothing mystic about it at all. It's real.
It is. It's very real.
Yeah. So, you know, there have been a lot of books about mindfulness, and everybody has sort of a different take. So what was it that just charged you up to write this book?
I had no choice.
Whoa.
I have a morning practice that I've done for the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
I get up in the morning. I try to carve out up to 2 hours where I meditate. Mm. I write. I actually do some Hawaiian hula dancing, if you can believe it. This little white guy from Canada. But
no, movement's amazing, though.
Oh, yeah. It connects me to all parts of me.
Yeah.
So one morning about 5 years ago, I was writing in my journal, just free writing, and my pen just took over and I kept going. And it started feeling like I was channeling something deeper than just a morning page.
Yes.
So I got cued. My intuition popped up and said, you are going to be writing a book. And I have to tell you, Michelle, the resistance to that was so huge. This voice came up in my head saying, what do you know about writing a book? You don't know how to write a book. But I was so intrigued by it. I kept going back every day and returning.
Yeah.
And before too long, I had two scribblers handwritten, and this book just came through. And it was like writing a song, but I guess as an author, it was a book. And so I didn't really have a choice, to be honest. It just wrote itself.
Isn't that amazing? And you attribute that to your daily practice of just, you know, 2 hours devoting to the meditation and the mindfulness and the things that you do. So you opened your brain sort of to information from whatever that we want to call it out there in the source, the field.
Yeah. There's an aspect of learning how to listen in this practice as well. And it can't be forced. This is really important to name here. That, you know, when we start saying things like practice 2 hours a day, or, you know, you always have to meditate, it puts this pressure on us to think that we somehow have to be perfect at it, at least for me.
Yeah.
And so I want to just reiterate here and name that it's not about perfection. Mm-hmm. This is like a constant practice and an invitation to awareness in just what's here now.
Yes.
What's here now? And so as that book started writing, it was like, well, this is here now, so I'm going to just write what I'm hearing. And it was this real practice of just learning how to listen to what's present here in the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I you know, understand that you do this daily practice and you have been doing it a long time, but traveling the world, you know, as a professional musician.
Yeah.
I know you described going through some really rough times and, I mean, traveling musicians are on the road, and there's sometimes you don't get the goodies all the time. I mean, yeah. you have done and are well known, and your music is beautiful, but it's tough for yes. all musicians, unless you're really a well-known, you know, continually making CDs or whatever and, you know, exposed a lot. But what were some of the trials that you had to experience that sort of led you to go deeper into
yeah.
a better soul?
That's a great question. I remember being on the East Coast in the States here. I was driving from Boston to New York.
Yeah.
I was playing in a band called Keith and Renee. How original.
Yeah.
And we were driving down to New York, and I remember it was right at that time where the music industry was shifting, mm-hmm. where Apple Music and Spotify and all these different oh, yeah. platforms came out. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it totally crushed the music industry, in my opinion. We were seeing our royalty checks going from like $15,000 mm-hmm. to like $15.
Whoa.
Honestly.
Right?
Nobody was buying CDs uh-uh. or records or tapes
right.
anymore. It was like we were being so challenged to make a living doing what we felt like we were called to do.
Yes.
It was so challenging. And I remember driving along the freeway going to New York, and mm-hmm. I felt so jaded. I was like, my life is over. Like, oh. why is this happening to me? It was like this victim mentality.
Yeah.
And around that time, my mom had given me these CDs while I was going on tour, and she said, listen to these when you get a chance. They're really powerful. They're by this guy named Dr. Wayne Dyer. And so I remember putting these CDs in.
Love your mom.
She is amazing. She's an amazing woman.
Or your
woman.
Mom, as
my
we say.
Mom in Canada.
In Canada.
Exactly.
<you go. laughs>
So I started listening to these CDs in the yeah. car with Renee. And Wayne would come on and just say, change the power of your thinking. You can attract whatever you want. And I was like, yeah, right, Wayne. This is the hardest time of my life.
I'm in New York. What
I'm in New York.
Here?
Yeah, I have no money. Nobody's coming to the shows. This is challenging. And I kept listening. And to be honest, when that would come on, amazing little miracles started happening. Like
yes.
I remember one day we were super hungry and we could barely afford to eat, to be honest.
Yes.
And we're driving down the freeway, and all of a sudden Wayne comes on and says, just, you can attract what you think about. And all of a sudden this organic food sign showed up on the freeway. It said, next turn, organic food restaurant. We turned off, we went in. It was like amazing. Like that these things started appearing in our path.
Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So when you become aware, then you start seeing the signs mirroring out there in the universe that kind of continue the snowball growing, and you become, wow, I want to learn more about this. I want to see more about that. And you do.
Yeah.
The universe just sort of brings things to you.
The signs are yeah. all around us.
Yeah.
I have to share this with you. This is quite
cool.
amazing. So I'm on my way to the airport back in Canada
yeah.
to fly here. And my wife, Kristen, drives me to the airport.
Yeah.
It's an early flight.
Right.
I get to the airport, I reach into my wallet to grab my money, and all of a sudden I realize I've left my wallet at home.
No.
And this is about an hour drive back to my house. So Kristen goes back to the house. I'm waiting for her to come back with the wallet. I get a phone call. She says, your wallet is not at our house. I have no idea where your wallet is. And I'm standing in the terminal thinking like, oh my gosh, like I'm flying here and I have no money. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I decide that, you know, there's Uber. So I have that app on my phone.
Yeah.
So
go.
I cross security. I sit down. I'm waiting to board my flight. And I'm speaking with this man. And I say, I'm going to LA and I have no money. What am I going to do? And he said, you know what? I'm going to give you $5. Apparently there's documentaries where people live on $5 a day. So this will get you through your first day. I fly here with no money, and I arrive and I step off the plane. I walk a few steps off the tarmac, and all of a sudden I look down and there's a $5 bill on the floor.
There you go.
I'm thinking, I am so taken care of here.
Wow.
And then I find that I actually pack my wallet in my check luggage.
Oh, yay. Shoo.
But all the fear that came up in
yes.
me, it's like we just so get stressed out. It was like,
no.
just take a breath. Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually the foundation of the principle of mindfulness.
Yes.
All things are connected.
Yes.
All things are connected. And the Hawaiians, the ancient Hawaiians had this down. They had a greeting when they met each other in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Ika pono mea.
Uh-huh. What
Ika
does that
pono
mean?
Mea. It means everything is happening perfectly on time. And
wow.
we would say Ika pono mea to each other when we're meeting, like hello, right? Because our meeting is perfectly on time. So if you go through your life with the mentality that no matter what happens, like
mm-hmm.
good day, bad day, it's like everything is happening on time and has things to teach us. And
wow.
If it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have learned the lesson.
Yes.
It's just so liberating.
It really is.
And $5 bills appear when you need them.
No, it's so true.
It really is.
And when you've lost things, I've also found that when we lose things that are kind of like a book that we cherished or our keys or, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to let it go.
Yeah.
We have to let it go and know that either it'll show up or we'll have another opportunity to get whatever we need.
Yes.
But and that, I think, is the toughest thing because we always want to hang on.
Oh, do we ever?
We gotta control everything, you know.
So
and
true.
That's, you know, what I guess Esther Hicks calls resistant thinking. It's all about control and putting that. But I love that you are into Wayne Dyer as well. That's so cool.
He's had a huge impact on my life.
Oh, he's such a love. Well, yeah. You know, he's watching us right now in spirit because we're talking about him, right?
Yeah, he's definitely shows up a lot in my life, you know.
That's lovely.
Although he's moved over to the other side.
Yeah.
I do experience him quite a bit. So.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So what kind of turned you on to the Hawaiian philosophies? I just thought I'd kind of ask you that.
Yeah, it is kind of random, isn't
it?
Well, I was going through a really, really tough breakup back in my 20s. Hmm. And I went to see this medical intuitive. Hmm. I just had this feeling and I didn't know what that was at the time. And I remember sitting down in her office and she did all this kind of woo-woo stuff. And I'm sitting there totally doubting the whole process.
Right.
And I come out on the other side and she gave me this feedback about myself that just was so accurate. And she said, a lot of stuff's come up. There's a teacher in town. She's based in the Hawaiian teachings and you might want to go see her because she could just clear your energy field.
Wow.
At the time, I'm thinking, this is really woo-woo. Yeah. I don't know. But I was so intrigued. I'm like, so well, funny. It's a good way to die, you know, if this is something dangerous.
Right.
So I went. And I went to see this woman, and she changed my life in that in one session. I laid down on this massage table, and I didn't really know at the time what she was doing. Mm-hmm. But I felt something shift. So at the end of the session, I said, do you teach this stuff? And she said, I do. Just give me a number. I'll let you know when I'm teaching. 3 years go by. I totally forgot about the experience.
Yeah.
And I get a phone call and she says, you're signed up for the training. This is the day. And it turned out to be a whole lineage of Hawaiian teachings that she actually was passed along from Serge King, who was passed along from the kahunas. So it's kind of a lineage of...
The big kahuna?
The big kahunas. And so I've been studying her for years and it's just integrated into everything that I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was more like energy healing that she did on you, more like possibly Reiki or there's just sort of like that energy.
There's a combination of it all.
Wow.
And basically the practice that I'm rooted in is Huna. It's called Huna.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's all about what we're talking about in North American culture. We call it mindfulness, really.
There you go.
So, yeah.
So you talk about five principles and this is the real getting right into the book and sort of I like to not only teach people through my guest experiences sharing their life and what they learned, but I love when we get to the meat of the book. So let's do that.
Okay.
I'd love to talk about those five principles that we should understand and put into practice that really will transform us. And I love the way you explain and it's clear and it rolls out and whoever you were channeling, well, the higher power within you, actually. You were just connecting out there with the field, but...
Yeah, that's right.
You say, principle one. Let's start with that.
Principle.
Everything begins as an inner dream.
Yes.
Tell me.
It really does.
What does that mean?
Well, it's really profound, you know? Mm-hmm. If you think about it, anything that you place your focus on right now was only once imagined in this place that I refer to as your inner dream or your imagination.
Yes.
And when I think of the word imagine... If you slow that word down, there's two words in there.
Mm-hmm.
Image in.
Yes.
The images in our mind.
Yes.
And we are constantly creating from this place of the inner dream, so to speak.
Yeah.
Anytime you go in there to your imagination, you're creating a reality. So the idea that thoughts eventually become things is really one of the first places to start becoming aware of this practice of mindfulness. We are always dreaming, whether we realize it or not, you know.
Yes.
Back to the Hawaiians, one of the great analogies that I love is they believe that the beginning of the day happens as the sun is setting at night. They call that the morning.
Hmm.
Now, it sounds so counterintuitive as it gets dark. They say, oh, good morning.
Yeah.
Any idea why that might be?
I don't.
Okay.
I really don't.
So just consider, when you go into the evening, you go into this place of dream time.
Yes.
And it's where all things begin. If you really consider right now, if you're even in a daydream right now, you're in this place of inner dreaming. So as the sun came up on the horizon the next day, they actually considered that the afternoon, because symbolically but literally, what you were dreaming about internally in that inner darkness started showing up like the sun on the horizon, lighting up the world around you. It's just like this beautiful poetic analogy.
Yes, it is.
For what's happening all the time. You don't have to be sleeping at night. You could just literally be in your car right now listening to this, and you're in a daydream, and whatever you're thinking about is creating your reality.
Wow.
So thoughts become things.
They really do.
Yeah.
And it's very quantum. You know, it's just, it really is. I love that. And I love that Hawaiian take on it too, as well. It also, you know, from a psychological point of view and a scientific point of view, it also coincides, you know, with circadian rhythms and the REM stage, you know, where we are dreaming and cleaning out and really open to receiving information as well.
Absolutely.
So that's profound. I love that.
Yeah. And you know, these are all things that we inherently know.
Yeah.
And part of my work here with the book was to remind people of it. Another reminder to come back.
Sure.
To what you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, see, I got so involved here. I'm so into this that I just forgot that you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And we're talking about an amazing book with my wonderful in-studio guest today, Keith McPherson. The book's called Making Sense of Mindfulness, Five Principles to Integrate Mindfulness Practice into Your Daily Life. Now, this is just not another book on mindfulness, all right? This is a journey that Keith shares with us about what he has experienced, what he has learned, and how he kind of sort of really wrote this book from... automatic writing, almost like channeling. It just came through you.
Yes.
Beautifully. And these are so many principles that we're receiving. You sort of incorporate so many principles from other teachers, such as Dr. Wayne Dyer, Esther Hicks, Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, Greg, what am I saying? Braden?
Greg Braden. I love Greg. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Great work.
I mean, all of these things that are one and the same, these concepts.
Yes.
But I love it because you're integrating them into this one particular book. And it really, people, it can help you understand yourself better, how to get in tune and, you know, how to really take care of yourself physically and mentally as well. So everything begins as an inner dream, as Keith just shared. So maybe we can talk a little bit about some of those experiences that the inner dreamer will feel when you really get into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things is when you really know that you've been inner dreaming, things just start showing up around you that you were already thinking about. Mm. It almost feels like a deja vu or a synchronicity. Mm. You're like, I was just thinking about you, you know, those moments when your phone rings and you were just thinking about that person.
Yes.
And it was almost like telepathy happened. It's like a confirmation, you know, from the universe that things are arriving perfectly on time. Oh man, this week there has been so many of those. I'm here in LA and visiting, and I went to this yoga class, and I'd been thinking to start off the new year, I wanted to have a little bit more fun in my life. Like, you know, putting out this book has been a lot of work, and I've been in this kind of work mode mentality.
Sure.
And I had this intuition as I was flying here. You should go to Disneyland because, you know, it's like, it'll feel like a kid again and you're in this great area. So I just kind of held that intention and it was an inner dream. I'm like, somehow I'm going to get to Disneyland. And I'm at this yoga studio in West Hollywood and this woman sits down beside me on her mat and she says, I know this is so random. We've just met, but do you want to go see a movie after this? And I said, oh, I guess, sure. Let's go see a movie after class.
Are you hitting on me? No.
I don't think she was.
Okay.
She was like my mom's age, to be honest.
Well, she still could be hitting on you. I don't know, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, we end up going to this movie at this place called the El Capitan Theater, if you're familiar.
Oh, yeah.
And they only play Disney movies.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there watching the, what's it, Mary Poppins Returns.
Right.
And these two adult strangers are in the theater eating popcorn, watching Mary Poppins Returns. And I had the moment where I just went, oh, this is my Disneyland experience.
There you go.
You know, I dreamed this into reality. Now, whether you believe that or not, I do. And that's all that matters. Because
for
me, It was a moment of that synchronicity happening.
Yes, exactly. So, and yeah. I think the more we tune in, as you know, you describe it, actually, you know, the inner dream and those conditions that the mindful inner dreamer experiences, we do start seeing those so-called coincidences showing up in our life. And it's not. It's, yeah, we just have to keep aware, be mindful of that. They're all around constantly.
Absolutely.
It's almost like the universe is yelling at us, going, "Hello."
Yeah, it wants to it wants to co-create with you.
Yeah.
And if your thoughts are all about life is hard and I'm not doing a good job and I'm failing, the universe just gives you what you're asking for. So you're honestly going to start seeing that become a reality.
Exactly. You know?
So why not shift the way you're seeing it? Why not get conscious about it? And it's risky. I know it's scary to start thinking thoughts like, money just flows to me easily.
Yeah.
Or I have the job that I absolutely want and it's on its way. And this one that I'm not liking, it's out the door. And I know this is going to happen soon.
Yeah.
And to really tap into the belief of that and to see it happening and assuming that wish fulfilled, it actually starts manifesting in the world. It really does.
Yes.
And if you're just doubting it right now, that's what you're actually creating.
Yeah,
you are still dreaming a dream here.
You got that big, you know, wall.
Michelle and Keith are a bunch of woo-woos. I'm telling you, you're guess what? You're going to get more of us knowing. And you're going to totally be criticizing us.
That's,
I mean,
right.
That's your reality. That's your reality. You're free to think what you want.
That's so true, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And speaking now, we're going to segue into this, which is perfect.
Okay.
You talk about principle too. You encourage us to expose the saboteur within us.
Yeah.
So what
those? My French Canadian roots. The saboteur.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So, and you said you had a hard time learning French. You know, you were talking about learning French.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You were saying, "Dang, I just." Right.
Should we go there?
Let's go there. I like that.
Okay.
Like that.
We'll get back to the saboteur in a moment. I was failing French class in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic I'm referencing the saboteur in French.
Yes.
This was a life-changing experience. It actually, when I think back, was one of my first moments of realizing what mindfulness is all about. I'm in the seventh grade. I'm failing French. I go to my teacher and I say, "Can I do an extra project to get my grade up?"
Yeah.
She says, "Yes, as long as it has something to do with French, go home, create a project." So I'm at home that night. I'm practicing guitar on my mom's old guitar. And all of a sudden, it dawns on me that I can translate an old Bob Dylan song into French. So I translate the song and I record it on a cassette tape, if you remember those.
Yes.
I hand it in as my project. Mm-hmm. And my teacher gives me an A+ on the assignment.
Woo.
It gets my grade up to a D- in French.
Oh, yes. But yes, I passed.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It sort of passed.
Good for you, though. You passed.
She asks me if I want to sing this song in front of the school.
Wow.
And I don't know about you, but the last thing I wanted to do in the seventh grade was get up in front of the entire student body and sing.
Yes.
My voice was cracking. I had this awkward crush on Stephanie. I'm like, I so don't want to do this. But this teacher kept pushing. You got to do this. You got to do this. So finally I say yes. And I'm standing up at the front of the gym. The whole school's piled in there.
Oh my God.
I start playing my song and I look out and my worst nightmare starts coming true. Stephanie's laughing with Maria. The whole row of my classmates are making fun of me. And before too long, the whole school kind of goes into this chaos.
Middle school kids are so mean.
They are. And I'm up in my head and this voice, for the first time I notice, starts screaming at me internally, "Run for the hills. This is a bad idea and you are failing.
Bye-bye.
Get out of here." Right?
All right.
So I play a few more verses of the song and I'm like, this is so bad. And all of a sudden I get this intuition to break into another song called "The Cat Came Back," which is a kid's song.
Mm-hmm.
And I start playing it. And all of a sudden the entire energy of the school gym changes. And what goes from chaos turns into this sing-along. And all the kids start singing along with "The Cat Came Back." And I look out and I remember seeing this and thinking, I could do this for the rest of my life.
Yes.
Like, what a turn from feeling like I'm failing. And I think the reason for this is because when a good song comes on, and I've seen this as a musician, it doesn't matter all the things that separate us. The music comes on and it has this way of penetrating the surface and connecting us to this place of just complete connection. We realize this place of oneness when we're when we're all singing along.
And what else, you know, I think happened is because of your intuitiveness and you're feeling really uncomfortable, you went to a song that was fun. and light. And your energy changed all of
a
sudden. It was fun.
Uh-huh.
And everybody went, this guy's cool. He's singing about that cat. You know, he's singing that song. And everybody sort of became playful. And the energy was like, yeah, we can all get into this.
Absolutely.
Because they couldn't get into the French lyrics.
Yeah.
And wow. How nice.
How nice.
That you did that.
How lucky that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That started my journey into music and mindfulness at the same time.
No, how about the girl that you had a crush on? Was she a little more?
We never dated. And then I had a crush on, I'll just go into the, Alana. Yeah. She lives in San Diego.
Yeah.
But she's married. Mm. But so am I.
Well, okay.
But you know what? It all works out.
It all works out. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
And crushes are wonderful lessons.
They really, are they ever?
Ooh, we can learn about that, can't we?
My best teacher was the girl that cheated on me 3 times.
There you go.
And I kept taking her back.
Sure.
And she, when I look back now, years later, she is one of the best teachers I ever had. That was Ika Pono Mea, perfectly on time.
Oh,
I mean,
Ika Pono Mea. Yeah.
She taught me what it means to love myself because I had to put my foot down and say, okay, out the door, you're done.
Yes.
But it took 3 times of her.
Sometimes it does.
Playing that role.
It takes a while for us to really learn the painful lessons and say, yeah, I deserve better. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
And it's really, it does help us, you know, become more psychologically introspective about what, you know, why we're doing this. Why are we doing this? You know, give it up. It's okay. It's all right. Give it up.
Our greatest enemies have so much to teach us if we're paying attention.
And isn't that huge?
Or the people that you're most annoyed with across from you at the workplace, and you're like sitting there and you're like, why is that person driving me crazy? They're trying to teach you a lesson if you're paying attention.
Yeah. And listen to what you don't like about yourselves, folks, and why you're projecting that onto them and say, ooh, you know what? That I do that too. So
yes. Exactly. Yeah. Mirror, mirror on the wall.
There you go. So principle 3, we're jumping into this. It's to open our minds. Open our minds. So how can we do that?
Oh, there's so many great practices of this. Mm. One of the best ways in the formal practice of mindfulness is to just breathe.
Mm. Yes.
Just breathe.
Yeah.
Because when we breathe consciously, it brings us back into the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice here, the saboteur, we didn't touch too much on that, but that's the fear-based thinking stuff.
We did, didn't we?
And it's like just exposing that stuff that comes up, the fear-based thinking that's telling you, you're not good enough, you're failing, that voice in my head in grade 7. So to open your mind, like to catch yourself when in that kind of saboteur mindset and to pause and to take a deep breath or maybe 3 or 4 and to reset. Because to open your mind to the present moment brings you into this state of awareness that makes you realize that you have choice. You know, all of our fear exists not here. Our fear is not here now. Our fear is in a story from the past of what happened or the future of what's going to happen.
Yep.
And so to take a breath and to open yourself back up, it's like a reset to this moment.
Yes.
So basic.
Oxygenation of the brain. And also, you know, taking that step and pause, especially, you know, when I see couples and they're arguing and they're just coming, blah, 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 blah. It's old programs that they're arguing from, defense mechanisms. And, well, you did that in the contests. And it's like, oh, please just take some pause and really think about what you're feeling. Take downtime, spread apart, go take a walk, come back and say, you know, the way I experienced what you said to me was hurt. I was hurt because. So you're opening up your mind to and taking pause and just breathing and being aware of how you're feeling and thinking and how your body feels.
Yeah, when we take a breath, I think of the breath as this connection between our thinking conscious mind and our body, our unconscious mind, so to speak. And when we breathe and we start tuning into the feeling in our body, you know, those moments when you're stressed or you're anxious, it's getting held in the unconscious mind body. So to breathe is the first step to become aware, you know, and then to deeply go, where am I feeling this stress in my body? And to check in there and to start asking myself, like, what is this about? Mm-hmm. What is this really about? And what's at risk here?
Yes, exactly.
You know? And to just keep asking the question, what's at risk here? Until you get to the point where you uncover the belief of like, what is at the root of this?
Yes.
And a lot of times at these places of thinking where it's like, I'm not good enough, I'm alone, I'm going to fail. You know, it's fear-based thinking that's rooted in an experience from the past or the future.
Sure.
And, you know, to become more and more aware of that opens us up to the power of choice.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It really is true.
Yeah.
Wow. Your fourth principle is to live fully aware.
Mindfully aware. Yes, yeah.
With your mind fully aware.
Sorry yes.
Sorry about that.
No, you're doing, this is great.
Oh. So how can we do that? Like you said, and with all the stress and daily, I don't want to say struggles, it's really not, but how we perceive life as a struggle in the social media, comparing ourselves and having to...
Yeah, all of that, what I'm hearing is you say yeah. that is all because we're up in only one part of us, which mm-hmm. is called the conscious mind yes. thinking part of us.
Yes.
So in mindfully aware, I expand this out to make you realize that there's actually more to you than just your thinking conscious mind.
Yes.
Like I was saying, there's this body mind called the unconscious.
Yes.
And there's this other part of us that often gets neglected in a lot of these self-help books. And it's a little edgy to talk about because our conscious mind wants to define it.
Mm.
But there's this third part of us mm-hmm. I refer to in the book as the higher self.
Yeah.
This could be whatever name your conscious mind wants to give it.
Mm.
It's that part of you that is connected to everything, mm-hmm. is creative. It's the part of you that there's not a word for it. It just simply is. It's the source that you're connected to, so to speak. And it always gives you what you're asking for.
Yes.
So how do you connect to that place?
Right. How do we do that?
Yeah. So in mindfully aware, I offer a formula mm-hmm. to put this into your actual everyday life. And it obviously begins with your thinking. Your thinking affects your unconscious mind memory, your body memory.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, your mind and your body are like two partners in a relationship. And they're always talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind thinks a thought, your body remembers and
right?
holds it. It's very, very uncommon for us to actually tune into the body mind. Most of us are just up in the head and we're trying to control
right.
everything. But when you start tuning into your actual physical body, feeling memory pops up, feelings pop up,
yes.
emotion in there.
Yeah.
Your body has wisdom to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if your mind is willing to listen, you get informed of what's actually going on under the surface.
Yes.
Now, this higher self part, if you're still with me, that creative part,
mm-hmm.
doesn't communicate directly with your thinking conscious mind mm-hmm. in this mm-hmm. formula. It actually communicates through your unconscious body mind. So if you think about these three parts to yourself, your thinking mind, your body mind, and your higher self,
yes,
that creative source, mm. to access it and to get those three parts of you into alignment requires you to be very conscious. What am I thinking about?
Yeah.
To tap into that feeling center and get wisdom from that higher self.
Yes.
So there's this constant communication, so to speak, between your conscious mind, your body, and your higher self back and forth.
Yes.
Florence Shin, mm-hmm. back in the 20s, described this the best.
Wow.
She said that prayer is essentially you, mm. and she used God in the 20s, prayer is your conscious mind calling God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Intuition is God or your higher self mm-hmm. phoning you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
Beautiful.
This constant back and
right.
forth going on.
Right.
And it's through that body mind that it's
right.
the interface between the two.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes. We're transmitters and we're receivers.
Absolutely.
And you know, they have the studies about the 40,000 neuronites in the heart that are emotion-based.
Right. I love that you're bringing
the
science
in. Is that
the best? It's so good.
And
yes.
how, when we get in touch and the mind-heart coherence,
yeah,
you know, exercises we can do. And that's really what you're talking about, too, is tuning in your body with your mind and being mindful of that. And
yeah, it's one of
just
the,
incorporating all that.
It's one of the best practices, what you're naming, and it's
yeah.
in the book, but I'll share it. It's like, to after you've opened your mind, close your eyes, take a breath, place your hand on your heart center, like physically
yes.
feel your heart beating.
Yes.
And invite your thinking mind to just focus and listen to your heart.
Yeah.
And to even just ask your heart, like, what do you truly want from me right now?
Yeah.
And just listen.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, you're going to get this feeling that pops up. Like
mm-hmm.
it might just be a little glimpse.
Yeah.
It's your higher self speaking. You know, right now, what do you truly want from me right now? I'm hearing sleep. That's the first thing that popped up.
Right.
You know, I'm on this book tour and I'm
yeah.
tired and I can hear yes. it. It's my intuition saying sleep. It came through my heart, not my overthinking mind. So then it's like, will my mind honor that request from the body?
Yes.
Because a lot of times our mind just runs. I don't have time to sleep. I'm busy. There's all these emails to answer.
That's right.
No. Exactly. If you want to get into alignment,
yeah.
you got to listen to the higher self as well.
It is so true. And you do talk about that in your book, Making Sense of Mindfulness, Five Principles to Integrate Mindfulness Practice into Your Daily Life. My special guest here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, Keith McPherson. And this is his latest book. And in a little bit, we're going to tell you how you can find out more about Keith, get his book, and read all of the wonderful material that he shares with you, you know, in his famous, you know, your blogs and your, you know, all your stuff that you provide. And also check out his music. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
I really appreciate what you're putting out there musically as well.
Thank
Latest
you.
Album.
Shine.
Is Shine.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice name.
Thank you.
I love that. And it does shine. Makes you feel good. It's feel good music.
Yeah, thank you.
yeah,
it's a very raw album, actually.
Yeah.
I'd been playing with Keith and Renee for years, and we were really going for like that pop country thing.
Yeah.
And so it was like very produced. We didn't even meet the musicians on half of our records because we'd just ship it down to Nashville.
Yeah.
This album, Shine, was a whole departure from that mentality. It came from the soul. So it's raw. We didn't put auto-tune on it. We exposed the soul on that record. So it's quite a vulnerable piece of music.
Yes, it is. Awesome. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. And you know, folks will tune into that and then they'll be on the same vibe as you.
I love it.
Let's just, we do have about 5 minutes left. So I want to get in principle five.
Okay.
I am. These are two of the most powerful words in our language. Why do you say that?
Yeah. Well, if you consider it, there's no denying that you are right now.
Yep.
I mean, I am. You are. Any variation of that, in fact, you know, your car is, this show is, the weather is. It just is. It's a very neutral thing. It just is. Mm-hmm. But why this is powerful is because, and you may have heard this before, you know, how you fill in the blank at the end of that statement is going to shape a reality for you.
Yeah.
So if I think I am tired, well, guess what? I just created a pattern that's going to start manifesting itself.
Yep.
So it's becoming aware of, in your thinking and how you're speaking as you're going through the day, mm-hmm. how are you filling in the blank at the end of your sentences mm-hmm. after the neutral?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
My work is, you know, how do you fill in that blank right now? Just, you know, you think about money is right now. Money is, you know, my relationships are. How do you fill in these blanks?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
And if you don't like the answer at the end of the sentence right now,
yes,
you can change it.
Yes, you can.
You can change it. And that's the power of this practice.
So would you change it by saying, I choose to make my job blank? Or how would you go ahead and sort of maybe even journal that?
Well, the invitation would be to, in a formal way, you could write down just a bunch of neutral things that are in your life. My kids are, my spouse is, my girlfriend is. And then fill in the blanks without overthinking it. Just what is it right now? Look at it. If there's any you don't like, scratch it out.
Yeah.
And change it. Now, when you change it, I'm going to almost guarantee that your saboteur is going to come up. That inner critic. It's going to say, money is not growing off the trees for you right now.
Yeah, but.
So notice that and name the saboteur in that, because that is connected back to belief. And here's the thing is that your unconscious mind and your higher self, they love repetition. The more you think and the more you feel into the reality of what it would be like, you know, even before this book was out there, people said, what are you up to? I said, I wrote a book.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yes.
It's already done, even though it's not.
Yes.
To assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled.
That's
so
right.
Powerful.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the and I know you've tapped into this, some of the people who are on, you know, your thought level, have gone in and imaged and felt and been there in their minds in whatever situation they wanted. And they've said, actually, well, I've already been there and experienced it. I've already had that, you know, Ferrari. I've already driven it on the highway. I've already, you know, had that love. I've already had that whatever experience. And, you know, I've already done it so many times in my mind. I'm sort of bored with it, so I don't need to manifest it. I've been there, actually. I manifested it in my mind, so...
That's how I feel about Maui, Hawaii. I go there every day. I live in the coldest part of Canada.
Yes.
With snow and it's freezing. Yeah. And it's like, I go to Maui every morning. I just close my eyes and I tap into the memory of it and the feelings and the smells. And my unconscious doesn't know the difference. It takes me to Maui.
Totally.
And the great thing is this saves you so many air miles.
That's right. It does.
And so much money.
So funny.
All you need to do is close your eyes and go to a good place.
That's right. It's so funny. I have a beach on the big island of Hawaii.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like I've been there so many times. And I go through this little path. It's like a little journey with petroglyphs and caves. And then I come out to this oasis. There's a real oasis. And then it goes to this little cove, this little beach with honu turtles and fishies. And it, that's where I go every day. That's my happy place.
Wow.
And it really, it's there.
That's why you look so familiar. I've seen you there before.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
In my Imogen.
There you go.
I love that. Cool.
Listen, we're out of time here. My goodness, it's gone so fast.
Does time even exist, Michelle?
No, it doesn't. But I guess the program director and owner of the station who's glaring at me exists. So, no, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Say, wrap it up. No, I'm kidding. How can people find out more about you and get your book, Keith?
Yeah, best place would be my website. It's keithmacpherson, MacPherson.ca, like Canada, so you remember that. And all sorts of things there, daily intention, online course, book, many resources to keep you connected to this place of mindfulness.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
You're a delight.
So are you.
I
what a great
love
interview.
It. Thank you.
Fun.
Thank
really,
you.
I've learned so much from you today.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Keith MacPherson. I've been saying MacPherson. Keith MacPherson. MacPherson. Get the book. It'll change you. It really will. I'm telling you, you think you've had good books before? Guys, whew, it's great. He's the real deal. All right. You can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me today, everyone. It's been really fun. And archives will be up tomorrow. You'll find out more about Keith. You get to download, replay the show, which will also be available for free, yay, on iTunes at On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, please, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Have a good week, and I'll be back next week with more great information. Another super author to talk about getting in touch with your issues, cleaning up your act, basically. Bye!